musicians have their seats. Sure, enjoy the help. Extra music in for Wednesday nights. It's quite a blessing. Amen. I'm just happy to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
So, just praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and get into our Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Title is tonight, The Purpose of Suffering. The Purpose of Suffering. First Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing as unto a faithful Creator. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we just ask tonight, Lord, for your presence and your anointing upon your word. We know that you dwell in your word, and we speak of you tonight. And we know that, Lord, when we talk about you, you come near. And so, Lord, we're asking that you would come into this room, Lord, and just do what only you can do. We just surrender ourselves to you now and ask that you touch every heart, every life, every body. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The purpose of suffering. Now, I will tell you right now, this is a very large topic, and I am not even going to attempt to cover a lot of it tonight, but I do just wanted to share a few thoughts and things that the Lord gave me on this purpose of suffering. So, you know, I spoke Sunday with Sunday service. I was talking about main topic there about not mixing, you and how that we're not to mix with the world. We're not to mix our belief with man's creeds and man's dogmas and all the things and so forth, how God has called us to be a separated people. You know, the word church means called out.
Right.
If you're called out, you're called out of something.
Right?
And so we are not to mix, and there was a purpose. We was talking about there's a purpose for God calling us out and having us to be a separated people and a holy people. And we talked about how holy just means to be separated and sanctified for a purpose for God. You know, like he's the one that's holy, right? He's separate from sinners and all. He's in a class of his own,
yeah.
And so he's holy,
right?
And so, of course, he has a character and a nature and a about him and in his realm and in his character and in his nature, he can't allow things that are unholy, right? And so he's called us to be holy, even though we're in this world. He's called us to be set apart, sanctified for his presence, so that we can come into his presence, live in his presence. And so he wants us to be a holy people. And we found out Sunday we were talking about that there's a purpose for that. We talked about how that when God had, and I don't remember how much of this I said, but I have in past, where when God wanted to redeem the world, he wanted to come and have be a savior, he had to start somewhere. Scripture tells us that he chose Abraham, he chose the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. Not that they were anything better. He could have picked any nation. He could have picked any people he wanted to, but he picked Abraham, and he didn't pick somebody that was really good and somebody that was. He went right into the midst of a land where there was where they worshiped many gods.
Right.
He went right into a place there and called Abraham, and called Abraham and said, "Separate yourself from your family and from these things, and come, and I have a place for you," and so forth. And so God chose the nation of Israel through Abraham, started there and chose Israel. And God said, "I'm going to pull you to myself." And in scriptures, actually, he says that Israel is his firstborn, mm-hmm. right? Because you remember, the firstborn is the one that has to die. The firstborn is the one that cannot live its own life. It has to suffer.
Yeah.
And so you take that firstborn, and it's usually as a sacrifice. And so God said, "I'm going to take my firstborn nation, Israel, and I'm going to take them to myself. They're going to be a holy people." And they can't live like the rest of the world, rest of the nations. And so he said, if all those other nations will bless Israel, they'll be blessed.
Yeah.
If they curse them, they'll be cursed. Mm-hmm. I say it this way, if all those nations would just simply sit and look at what God is doing in that nation and honor that and say, you know what? He may not have called me for that position, but I can see he's called them to that position, and I'm going to honor that. And that would turn around and come back upon the person. You know, anything that God sets forth there, if you honor that, it comes back to you.
Right.
You know, it's just a little simple thing like your finances paying tithes or something like that. You know, God gives you the ability for all of it. And he just simply says, just give me 10% back, and he'll take that 10% and roll it back to you in a greater blessing than you could even contain, the scripture says. So anything that we do like that, God just multiplies it that much more. And so he says, you know, I'm just going to take out of all the nations of the world, I'm just going to take one nation, and I'm going to use that nation to bring Messiah. I'm going to use that one nation to bring Messiah, who's going to pay for the sins of the whole world. You're right? And so if you could just honor that. And then out of that nation, he had 12 tribes, and he picked one tribe, you know, picked the Levites, right? To be. And so now the Levites, they have to even be in an even more strict lifestyle than even Israel. Israel couldn't be like the world, but even in Israel, there was even a more strict people that God called and said, "Now I'm going to call them to myself." And they were like a firstborn in the midst of the nation, pulled them over and said, "They're going to be my priesthood," right? And if all of Israel, the 12 tribes, if all the other 11 tribes could just look at that and recognize that priesthood was called of God, and God is going to work through them, that blessing would come back upon them because they'd be a priest and mediator, you know. And so, but then inside that family, inside that tribe, he picked one family, the family of Aaron, right? And it just keeps going, and picked out of that family, he picked one for the high priest. And each one of those had a stricter walk, a deeper purpose. And it was the responsibilities of all the others to look at that and not criticize it, but honor it.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's a separated, sanctified life that God can take. And it just goes, I heard it before many times. I heard Brother Brown say it, you know, that when he was talking about how when God spoke to Joseph, because there was no prophet in the land, he spoke to Joseph through the dream and told him to rise up and take the child and, you know, go to Egypt and all the different things. And so Brother Bram said, see, it just goes to show that if you'll anything you can consecrate to God, he'll use it. Anything you give to him, he'll use that if you'll just give it to him. So to be a separated people, just to give yourself, your voice, your life, your thoughts, your finances, your everything you can that you can give God, he'll use that and use it to be a blessing to others. And so we found out Sunday that the purpose of that sanctified, pulling people aside and calling them to be a special people was so that he could do something for others through that life. So that others could, there'll be others who would recognize Israel and bless them and be blessed because of it. Then there's a lot of them that will curse and be cursed because of it. And so you know that with this sanctified life comes suffering. Right? It becomes a suffering because most of the world, most of the nations don't like Israel. Right? But there are some that have recognized them, have blessed them. We as a nation have done it in the past, and we know the scripture says every nation is going to turn against them, right? Going to. So watch what's happening here. The very place that God wants to redeem the whole entire earth through, and everybody wants to hate it. See? And the very people on this earth that could fix the earth, the believers, Christians, and they want to come against it. Right? So you see that when God calls them to apart, there is a purpose there. And of course, that purpose there, when it's recognized by certain ones, and blessings can come out, but there's also probably more cursing coming that way than there is of people who honor it. Right? And so most people around, you know, that you meet in life, they're going to look down on a true believer. But there are some who look at believers and they see it. They see and they know that person, and they do good things. And you know what the scripture said, how what happens is going to come back upon them at the end. And so we see that there's not a whole lot of people that like Israel. There's not a whole lot of people that's going to really like Christians. I mean, real Christians. You know, Israel was despised because they believed in one God. Right? You know, we are too. Right? You know, people, birds of a feather flock together. People like to have strength in numbers. They like to feel comfortable when they're sitting in the midst of us. Everybody believes the same way. They feel comfortable. But if we're believing contrary to the word, then it's a false comfort. Right? It's a false security.
Right.
Because there's only one security that you can have that's real, and that's in God and in His word. And so, that, you know, all the nations out there that are idolaters and Trinitarian and all these different ones, they all like their company. And when you have somebody rise up and believe something different, they don't like that. Right? They're different. And so when God, the very thing, and when God called Abraham out away from all those idolatry to believe one God, and I'm sure that that was something they made fun of. You know, they're like, what? You know, one God? We've got many. We, you know, you can imagine what humans would say about those sorts of things. And so there's a parallel to us as Christians, as real believers, that God has a purpose for those who will separate themselves unto Him. And, you know, we as real Holy Ghost people, people that really have the Holy Spirit in our lives, we know we can't live like the rest of the world.
Right.
You know that if you did, that spirit that's in you would get sick. Right? You know, because it's the nature of the dove. And that's why the prophet said so many times, a dove cannot eat rotten meat and all those things. He has a special diet. And so that's why whenever you do something you shouldn't, you feel bad. That's why you feel convicted.
Right.
Because there's a life in you that doesn't like that.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how that works. And so, but we know automatically, even without all the things I'm talking about tonight, about all the persecution thing, we know just as Christians, you can't live like the world. And so, and that's why we feel like we do if we make a mistake. And so, but remember, Brother M told us the Holy Ghost starts out in your life. It starts out about the size of a button. So when you have an experience with God and you have that still small voice in there that will speak to you and correct to you, it may be really small, may not have a whole lot of strength in your life just yet, but if you'll walk with the Lord, that'll grow. Right? That voice and the strength that it has to lead you and guide you will grow. And you'll become stronger in the Lord and more sensitive to the Lord. Right? See Brother Daniel shaking his head yes, because he knows what I'm talking about. If you walk, the more you walk with the Lord, the more sensitive you can be to Him.
Right.
You can't be sensitive to Him and go off in the direction of a gift that He didn't give you.
Right.
But whatever your gift and your call is in the life of with God, as you walk with Him, that'll become more refined. You know, the scripture says to exercise ourselves to godliness.
Right.
Right? Bodily exercise profiteth little. It didn't say to profit at all. Little. But to exercise ourselves to godliness.
Right.
That's more important. To exercise ourselves in the things of God so that we can operate in the kingdom of God more strongly. To exercise, right? It's a natural type spiritual. So we understand that. God wants us to be that way. And so it's the literal life of Jesus Christ in you is why you can't eat those things of the world, and you can't act like the world, because it's holy.
Right.
And that's who's in you. Of course, we know. I know you know that. And so, but what you have to understand is that that same Christ that suffered 2,000 years ago, that same life is in you now and is continuing to suffer in you. You have to understand that. That same life that came here to be a sacrifice for the world had to be beat, had to be rejected in order for atonement to happen, and in order for there to be an atonement, there had to be bloodshed. Well, in order for it to be bloodshed, he had to be rejected. Right? So without the remission of sins, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Well, then there is no shedding of blood, and this is a rejection. See? That's why it's so important to understand that when the word came today, that we now have bleeding word. We have a message that was rejected, and because it was rejected, there's blood. There's atonement. Right? And so therefore, the sins are the plan of God continues on, and our sins are forgiven today under that atonement, because it's continuation of what he did on Calvary. And so that's the life of Christ in you, and he's in us, and he's continuing to sacrifice himself for the purpose of helping others, and he's doing it in you. That's why he has called us to a life of suffering. Like the scripture said, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We know that anything real in life comes with a price, right? Everything that's worth anything comes with a price. And so, each one of us, each person here, we're here because someone suffered for us. You know, you come into this world, little baby, helpless. Absolutely helpless. And somebody had to get up at nighttime when they needed rest. Somebody had to tend to you when your diaper needed change and you needed food and your tummy hurt and you didn't. Somebody had to do that. Right? And somebody gave their life. Somebody went to work to provide food and clothes for you when you couldn't.
Right.
And if they hadn't done that, where would you be? Right? If you'd have been born and nobody would have fed you, you would have died. But and I know, you know, you love these babies, and we got some maybe coming. We got at least one more coming, but you love them, you know, but they're at work. They're a hard work. I see a lot of heads shaking because that's the hardest thing in life. It is. And so somebody had to suffer that you could be blessed. And we all are here because somebody did that for us. When we were helpless, somebody took care of us. And when we were in this world helpless in sin, somebody came and died for us. Somebody suffered that we could live. The Lord Jesus Christ. And now it's our turn. Right? Your parents have taken care of you young people, like Brother Elijah, and you know, and over the years, we've watched him grow up and know the things that Brother Daniel and Sister Vicki have had to, in raising, all the toils of life of raising him, and they've suffered that he might have life, right, that he might grow and become a self-regulated, a healthy adult. And so now he's married, and now him and his wife are expecting. Now it's their turn. Follow me? Because it's a cycle of life.
Yeah.
So anything in this world that's worth something, it is attained by suffering by somebody to attain it.
Right.
And the blessing is onto someone who can't do it for themselves. Somebody else has to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. So we all say, oh, why am I having to go through all this stuff? Look at the picture. You go through these things because somebody else is benefiting. You may not see it. You may not understand it. But you go through trials and troubles because God is using that to touch the life of others. Others that may not know yet. But brother, sister, down the road they will. I'm pretty sure that there were times Brother Perryman probably maybe thinking about me, praying about me, wondering, what will that boy ever be? My aunt's laughing. You know, he probably did. But he kept praying. He kept on, right? A man that him and his wife that kept on year after year, just, you know, and might not have as many people as we have tonight. But they kept on, and they kept praying, and kept believing God. And so those things come back. They come back in return. Amen. And so things that are important in life, they come with a price. So as I said, the same Christ that was rejected 2,000 years ago, he's being rejected now, and it's in you. But he's called us to that. The scripture said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Amen. So I wonder how many people in God in the Bible, God's people in the Bible, suffered. I wonder, did Abel suffer? He sure did. Abel had a revelation that was different, and he suffered because of it, because he stayed with it. Abel had a revelation that told him it didn't, you know, I said the other day, it didn't make sense. To common sense, you say, what? I can imagine when he told Cain, here's what I'm going to do. Cain probably went, you idiot. What are you talking about? God ain't going to accept you slaying it. God, you're going to slay something? No way. If you think about it. But yeah, he had a revelation that overcome intellect, and he went with it. And of course, it cost him. We know that. His brother was jealous. You know, Enoch, the scripture said Enoch. I wonder if he suffered. Well, it doesn't necessarily say that, but you know the nature of man. And the scripture, as I've said so many times, if everybody walked with God, the scriptures couldn't zoom in on Enoch and say, oh, you know, Enoch walked with, well, so did everybody else, right, if that was the case. But you have to realize that Enoch walked with God because nobody else was. Nobody else was walking with God, and nobody else took the rapture because they walked with God. He was a contrast, right? And so he walked with God all those years, and I'm sure the nature of man, he had to be different from the rest of the world. Or else his life wouldn't have been different. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't have wound up in a different result. If somebody else on the earth at that time would have walked with God just like he did, they would have been in a rapture too. Because God has to be fair, right? And so he walked with God and was not, for God took him. Noah built the ark. You know, he suffered. You know, they made fun of him for 120 years. Right? How many would like for God to come and tell you, here's what I want you to do with your life. I want you to start building a giant boat day after day. You're going to be hewing wood. And that's what, that was a move of God. That was a God-called man. He was on a divine mission. Probably everybody's like, what are you talking about? There's no such thing as water up there. Right? Scriptures tell us that up until that time, it was just a mist. They'd never seen rain before. How many knows the scripture said that? Right? See? So you know they thought he was an idiot. And he suffered persecution because of that. But look at the blessing that come from it. Amen? So you look at that. Look at Abraham's life. When Abraham, as I mentioned a while ago, God told him, come out away from your family. Can you imagine God telling you got to turn and walk away from your whole family and just go like that? Of course, he does in our own way today to believe this word. And so, because we're the children of Abraham. Sarah, you know, Sarah was despised by Hagar. Joseph, you know what happened to him, right? Joseph was spiritual, and he was despised by his brothers, hated by his brothers, right? He suffered. But look what come from it, right? The whole entire thing, the whole generation, not just Israel, but Egypt too, was saved because he suffered. Amen? Moses suffered. Look what he had to go through. Look at David. David standing there as a rejected king, looking down upon Jerusalem. Right? See, all those things are there because God has called us to this, called us to suffering, because it's his way. It's his purpose. You know, the scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that those who by faith, Abraham and the different ones, the scripture said that they had opportunity to go back. When they set out for God, they set out to believe. Abraham, when he set out to go away from his family, to go, he could have turned around and went back. He had plenty of opportunity. And don't you think it didn't pass through his mind? It did. Just like it passes through your mind. He set out to serve God, and so the scripture said they had opportunity. He had opportunity to turn around and go back. Moses, Abraham, the different ones. And so we also, but if we were to go back, what would we go back to? Right? You go back to the same life that you come from, the same sorrows that made you sorrowful to begin with. You know, but yet it's real. The pull is there. Satan to try and, oh, just give it up. Just go back and don't walk with God no more. It'll be easier. And it's not. Amen? Not for a believer. It's not. And so where would you go if you went back? Well, you start out for God and you taste that the Lord is good and you see him do things and you see all these and you walk with him for a while, and then where would you go? You'd be miserable. You know, in St. John chapter 6, we understand that Jesus, and I'm talking about if you left and went back, where would you go? Jesus, in St. John chapter 6, you know, he had this wonderful miracle ministry that people just loved, and he could break the bread and the fish and feed the thousands, and they loved it. But then, as the prophet said, one day he set out and he began to teach them. Because God will send a gifted ministry to get their attention, but then there's going to be a voice behind the sign. Right. So Jesus had a voice behind the sign, and the voice behind the sign said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And we understand what that means, but he didn't explain that back then. And to those people who were not spiritual, they thought this guy wanted him to be cannibals. Right. Eat the flesh, and so as he began to teach those things, and they got offended. They were like, well, this is, and he doubled down on it. You know, said, if you don't do this, you have no life in you. And so you read all this in St. John 6. He had fed the multitudes, went up into a mountain. His disciples went across the sea. He went walking on the sea that night and wound up on the other side. And there were other people on this side. They got in their boats and went over there. And when they got over there, they saw him there. And they're like, how did you get here? Because we know you didn't get in that boat with those disciples. So how did you get here? And that's where he said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but that which endures to everlasting life. And so they were seeking after those things. But the prophet expounds on this and tells us that he says Jesus began to teach them, and he began to tell them and give them the meat that would endure to everlasting life. Wasn't fishes and loaves, but he began to tell them his word. Been to tell them the purpose of what he was there and how they could be saved. That's much more important. And he began to tell them, and they got offended. Oh, they loved the natural. They loved the camp meetings. They loved all the miracles and all that. But when it come down to the word, the very thing that was going to change them, that fishes and loaves was only going to change their stomach for a little bit. But when it come down to changing their life, they were offended at that. And the scripture said that many of those disciples, many of those that had followed him, turned and followed him no more. And the place in the scripture where it said that is St. John chapter 6, verse 66. 666. Because that's what the mark of the beast is, unbelief. That ultimately, what does it cause? It causes people to turn around and not walk with the word. And go and walk with something else. Right. And so when this happened, when they all left, Jesus turned to his 12 disciples. He turned to his elect and he said, are you going to go too? Right. They had opportunity too. Like we have opportunity. You have opportunity to quit. God's not going to stop you. You could stop trying to serve God today. Right? And so they had opportunity, but That's when, I think it was Peter, one of the disciples said, well, where would we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Right? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And so, that's what I would say today. That's so many today. This is a repeat. They're offended at the word. Even when they sent, John the Baptist sent some people there and said, ask him, is he the one that should come, or should we think of look for another one? And Brother Brandon said, well, his eagle eye got dim because he had seen the presence of God the come down and light up on Jesus. But he got in that prison and he kind of eagle eye got dim for God and got to doubting. And he went and he said, go ask him, is he the one to come? And Jesus said, go tell John. He didn't say, yeah, I'm him. He said, go tell John what you see happening. You know, the sick are healed and the lame and so forth. And the gospel is preached to the poor, and blessed is he who's not offended in me. And here we are today. I can hear him saying it. Go tell the world what's happening. And blessed is he who's not offended. Right? Blessed is he who's not offended at what God is doing. And so, when all the rest of the world is rejecting the word and walking away from the word, what are we going to do? We're not walking away from the word. We're staying with it, even though it's despised, because that's where the blood is. That's where the life is. Shed blood. Amen. And so we don't want to turn around and walk backwards and go away. And so in all this, just to try and finish up here real quick. So we want to be like Moses was when the scripture said that he counted suffering, right, greater riches than out of Egypt. So you have to have a revelation to look at that. That it's more blessed to walk with God in the world, if the world turns against you, which they will, than to have all the world's riches. Like Jesus said, what would it gain a man if he got the whole world and lost his soul? Right? We don't want to do that. We have to embrace the cross. We have to embrace the fact that he's called us to a life that is redeeming, a life that is helping others, but it's a rejected life. And most of the world is going to be against it, but there are some. There are some that you live for, that their lives will be enhanced and brought to the gospel. And maybe if they're not brought to the gospel, but given life at the second resurrection. Right? You must not be wary in well-doing of living for God, because in due time you will reap. Right, if we faint not.
Amen.
We'll be like Moses and count all the sufferings of Christ greater riches. You know those scriptures, and I'll say this, read 1 Peter. Most of 1 Peter talks about it over and over. Peter was obviously well versed in suffering, because he spoke a whole lot about it. But he also in all of that spoke and said, hey, it's greater riches. It's greater than gold that can be purified. Right? Because it'll last. Amen. We don't get to choose what kind of suffering we have and how much we suffer. Listen, he's the potter. We're the clay. We don't know. We may not be, you know, if you're a young Christian, you may not know what God wants in your life. You may not know what gift he's going to work through you. You may not know yet. But he knows.
Amen.
And he knows how to get you there. He knows how to mold your life and make your life. And I've told you, listen, if I'd have went the direction that I wanted to go, I wouldn't be here. And I think we could all say that. I'm glad that God said no to me. I'm glad that he put pressure in me and wouldn't let me have things I wanted. I'm glad. I am glad now. I tell people, we were raised poor, and I am glad. I told somebody yesterday at work, an engineer at work, we were working together, and we were talking, and I said, yeah, I was raised in a house. We had drank water out of a dipper, drank well water, had an outhouse, knob and tube wiring. That's the way I was raised, you know, and I'm glad. I'm glad for everything that happened. At the time, I didn't like it, but I'm glad. I'm glad the Lord did that. And so he knows how to get you where he wants to take you. You know, that scripture tells us we don't even know how to pray. Right? We need the Holy Spirit to cause us to groan and pray. Right? Because he can cause you to speak things and utter things and get things accomplished. We don't even know what's going on. Right? We don't know what we need in our lives. If we think, oh, I got to have this, it's probably wrong. Right? But he does. And so as he gets involved in your life, things may not go the way you would like. Right? You know, I set off, and I don't know how the Lord brought it about, but, you know, he gave me opportunity to go off to college, and I found out after a semester or so, I couldn't afford it. And that wasn't, I mean, I was, this is what I wanted to do, and I had to come back home and from an engineering college and start going to this local college at the time, just to, you know, community college or whatever. And that wasn't what I wanted. I had to pick up the phone and say, hey, to my old job, you know, hey, I'm having to come back, you know. I didn't want to do that, but you know what? It happened the way God wanted it. You know what I'm saying? And so you got to trust in the one who's doing the pressure.
Right.
You just don't try to understand it. Just trust him. As the scripture said, that last verse there, she'll put it up there. To commit yourself to him. Right? Commit the keeping of your soul to him as a faithful creator. Right? Amen. Let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing as unto a faithful creator. Just commit it to him. Right? Brother Miller has. See what I'm saying? So whatever our road is, whatever we don't control, like I've said about children, don't give your children the choice of what correction is, because they always pick something that it'll never change them. See? God knows what we need to change us. And so in all those trials and all those things, when things aren't right and you want things and it's not working out exactly the way you want it to be, just remember, he's the one in control and he knows what he's doing. Yeah. He's got a purpose, and if you'll just commit yourself to him, not only will your life be blessed, but others will too. Amen? We know that, believe that. And so, I want to read a quote to you, and we'll close here. This is from the Smyrnian church age. And you've heard portions of this, probably maybe all of it in the past. Brother Branham was saying, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that try you. That's what Peter said. Is it strange that God wants us to develop Christ-like character that comes through suffering? No, it's not. It's not strange that God wants us to develop Christ-like character that comes through suffering. That's me saying that. No, sir. And we all have trials. We are all tried and chastened as sons. Not one but goes through that. The church that is not suffering and is not being tried hasn't got it. Isn't of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. See, that's why he could say that if you're not going through trials and troubles and chastening, then it's not of God. Because every son that God he loves, he chastens them. And he says, now this special condition in Smyrna must be applied to every age. There is no age free from it. There is no true believer free from it. This is of God. This is the will of God. It is needful. He's talking about suffering. We need the Lord to teach us the truth and that we are to suffer and be Christ-like in doing it. Love suffers long and is kind. In Matthew 5:11-12, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So Jesus, that's Jesus saying that. To rejoice when you are rejected, right? I don't mean be arrogant, but down inside, like the disciples when they were beat and they went away rejoicing because they were counted worthy to be beat. You know, what is it? Forget how it goes, but you've reached somewhere in something when they persecute you. Right? When you reach some spot where they feel like they got a strike at you, then you've reached something, right? And so they were glad that they were persecuted for the Lord. Brother Graham says, the cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disappointment. Because a lot of times we'll think, well, I'm going through, there's no, God's mad at me, he's disappointing you, I'm not his because I'm going through all this. Brother Graham said, no, that's not it. He said, neither are bright skies or still waters signs of his love and approval. His approval of any of us is only in the beloved. His love is elective, which he had for us before the foundation of the world. Does he love us? Ah, yes. But how shall we know? We shall know because he said so, right? And he manifested that love, or manifested that he did love us, for he brought us to himself and gave us of his Spirit, placing us as sons. And how shall I prove my love to him? How can we prove our love to the Lord since he has proven it to us? How can we do that? Brother Branham answers the question by believing what he said and by conducting ourselves with joy amidst the trials that he, in his wisdom, allows to come to pass. Amen? That's how we show our love to him. That when he lets things come our way that we don't like, we conduct ourselves Christ-like with joy and happiness in the midst of it all. Amen. That is the purpose of suffering. Not a popular thing, not a popular message, but it's needful. It's absolutely, and I think the sooner that people, all of us, could learn to embrace this and understand what it's for, well, then certainly it would make a big difference. Amen. Let's bow our hearts as the musicians come. Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of this service, in the middle of this week, Lord, I want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to be here with your people and speak on these things. Lord, I pray that you just seal it away in their hearts. Lord, bring it to the place that it becomes a revelation to each one. Lord, a revelation that there's nothing more important than to walk with you and to have your nature and your character in us. Let the world pass by, but Lord, let us have your character and your nature in us that we can conduct ourselves with joy and happiness in times of trial and troubles and temptations. Lord, when it comes to that day and our bodies change, I know we'll all be so happy. And when we look and we see our family members and our friends and loved ones there also, because we were willing to be a separated, sanctified people, what joy that will be in those days when that day comes. So we just ask, God, that you just bless each one with these things we've talked tonight, the revelation in their heart. Ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus.